working. Okay, a little epistle of John, the first three John, the little first, second, and third Johns. We're going to start out with John 1. In the first verse, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and shewed unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. That's a little tiny chapter, isn't it? I'll tell you what, it'll kick the guts out of most religion. Okay, it will. It reveals truth that they can't deny. And to deny it, they're just saying, I'm a liar, and that's the end of it. That's what he said, okay? Let's go back and look at it. He said, that which is not what it should say. It should say, the one that was from the beginning, okay? Saying that which makes it like an inanimate object. But it was the Christ that was from the beginning, right? The Christ that was from, the one that was from the beginning, the Christ, which or whom, it's not a which, it's a whom, we have heard, whom we have seen with our eyes, whom we have looked upon, and our hands have verified by contact concerning the Logos of life, or the words of life. Okay? Every time they speak of Jesus being the Word, it's the word Logos, which means the mature son. Okay? But he's a mature son. Notice how subtle the translations took that from the intimacy of being in Christ and with Christ to taking it to an inanimate object of that which. See how subtle that is? And most people would say, that doesn't mean anything. Don't tell me it doesn't mean anything. It's taking it back to the humanistic view and just making it an inanimate, making him like an inanimate object, like, well, there's a chair sitting over in a corner. Sorry, it's not what it is. It was the Christ, the very center of this universe. And they make it very nonchalant. And people who don't study the scriptures don't pick up on those little things, like the little nuances they have in there that just totally change everything. Verse 2, it goes on to say, should say, because the life was not manifested, but made visible or made known. Because the life of Christ was made known. And he said, we have seen it and bear witness and show or announce to you that eternal life or the ageless life, which was not with the Father, but was in the Father. And was what? Manifested or made visible or known to us. See, it's an intimate thing. You can't, the people that read this book and don't realize that they're saying words. Does everyone in this room realize that when you say these words, there's meaning behind them? That's how we communicate. You can't communicate with somebody if you don't have those words. If you and I have the same words coming out of our mouth, but we have a different meaning to them, can we really truly communicate? No. See, we have to come on this common ground. And that common ground is Christ. And we have to realize that everyone on the face of this earth has Christ within them. You don't have to beg your Father to love you. He loves you because you're His. Jesus even said this, you're not your own. You were bought with a price. See, it's not up to me to do anything except to love my Father. What's the greatest of the commandments Jesus stated? Love the Lord God with thy heart, soul, mind, and body, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's love. And that's what John is writing. This whole book really is taking us into the realm of understanding that love is an intimate thing. And I'm not talking about the physical, sexual things that the world gets caught up in. I'm talking about having a relationship and understanding each other and having communication with each other. These are the things that bring the intimacy of true understanding. Even in a man-woman relationship, if there's no communication between the two, do they really have an intimacy? You got to be able to talk. See? You don't know what's inside of your mate unless you talk to him, do you? You got to talk. And there's lots of people that don't talk. Well, you really can't have that intimate relationship if you don't talk to each other. You got to be able to talk. Sometimes you may not feel like talking, but the other one might. And it could turn around. Sometimes, you know, you want to talk and they don't want to talk. And vice versa, you know. But you've got to go along with the flow. It's compromised in a relationship. To get along, you got to get along, don't you? You got to do some things that you don't want to do. And time will come when it'll come back around. And your mate will want to do something that you don't want to do, and you'll have to do it because that's the way it is. You share.
It shouldn't be that you should have to do it. It's that you want
to. Well, yeah. But I mean, it should be a compulsion within you if you have this relationship and this intimate relationship. And I'm not talking about the sexual thing again. If we have this intimate relationship and communication, it should be a desire of your heart.
Right.
See? That's not something that you, like maybe a poor choice of a word, have to do. It's something that you're compelled from inwardly to do. How's that?
I like choose things online. Do it to say, well, you're going to owe me later.
No, that's not right. We know that, you know. But it's something that you're compelled within. It's not about keeping score. Well, you've got the last two or three things you want, and now it's my turn. That's not either. You just do whatever's at that time, what's right for that time, and go on. Period. See? That's intimacy. I don't think Jesus ever said, now, I'm keeping score because I know you screwed up last week and the week before and the week before that and every other week. So this is my week. You've got to do what I want this week. But he didn't do nothing like that.
You got the glass of tea the last time, now I'm sure.
There you go. But I've had to clean the toilet for the last 3 weeks. Now it's your turn.
Yeah.
Okay. Share. Sure it is. See, that's what comes out of communication in a relationship, is a desire to do what the other person wants. Not out of necessity, but out of the love you will do. You'll just do it. Okay, verse 3, right? The one that we have seen, see that which again? Right back to that inanimate object again. That thing. That which, or the one that we have seen and heard, declare we to you, in order that you also, what? Yeah, cross out that word may. See that word may in there? It's added, it's not there. It's a doubt word anyway. That you also have fellowship. Now, what is that word fellowship? What does it mean?
Relationship.
Literally, well, just what we've been talking. It's a partnership or an intimacy. Okay. With us. And
you mean that's more than just all Sunday morning?
Absolutely, more than Sunday morning. Hmm. And the word with there is really in the midst of us. Okay. It's not all just external. See, everybody sees that as an external thing. But in the midst of us, that you can fellowship with someone inside. I'm talking about in your thinking process. And that's what he's talking about. Because if you have fellowship with someone, that intimate fellowship, you know, in the mind, you can continue anytime. You can. It's all a spiritual thing. And we all need to learn that this is going on inside of us if we listen to what the Spirit is telling us. That's what this is all about. This writing is all about. We have the intimacy and a partnership in the midst of us. And truly our partnership or intimacy is in the midst of the Father and in the midst of His Son, Jesus Christ.
Should that be separate?
Huh?
Should that be separated?
What?
The Father and...
Jesus said, Father, make them one with me as I am one with you. We're all the same. They're just claiming, and that's the way that they have written all through the Bible, like there's three gods, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's one God who has different manifestations.
Well, in the writing, is it separated?
That's the way King James wrote it.
Okay. We're not all separated.
No, because you can't separate the Spirit of God from God, because God is a Spirit.
Okay.
See? And we understand that, but there's a lot of people who don't understand that. And if you tell people there's no Trinity, oh my God, you just blew the world up, you know.
Did you do that Friday
morning? Yes, I did. I didn't mean to.
Some
old man.
Even some heathen in McDonald's.
No, he's a church man.
Yeah, he's still a heathen.
I know. But he was telling me all these things, and I said, but don't you understand what the book really says? And he'd say something, and I said, but that's not what it really says. The Greek and Hebrew language doesn't say that.
Brother, you're changing the words all around.
Well, somebody already changed them. I'm just replacing them back to where they were. Put them back in their original status. But he didn't understand. So we got blessed. Somebody come along and started another conversation and got away from it. And he went away. So that was... Remember what they taught in the New Testament? Don't put new wine in an old wineskin. Because they'll blow up and you lose it all, you know. But put new wine in a new wineskin. Then everything will be cool.
Yeah. He wasn't ready to receive
them. He wasn't ready to receive them. Let them go. Do whatever they got to do. Let them go. They're covered anyway. They'll be there in the end. Don't have to worry about it.
They're kind of like if they're sitting there on the old place.
Sure. Let them go.
Let them be.
Hey, I don't care who it is, our family, our friends, whatever, acquaintances. If they don't want to hear it, let them go. Because all you're going to do is make them mad. And if you go by and kick a hornet's nest, you know what the repercussions are, don't you? Mm-hmm. You're going to get stung a few times, maybe a whole lot of times. And since they're not going to do anything for you, and they're not going to do anything for themselves to better themselves, just let them build their nest in the midst of that old wood. What is that nest built out of? Wood. They chew old dead wood off of fences and trees and make their nest. And what is wood? Let them build it in humanity if that's what they want. If that's their security is in humanity, let them have it. It's okay. It's okay. We got to rest in that. If God's in control of all things, what are we trying to do?
Trying to do man, same thing man's trying to help him out.
Yeah. Yeah, God needs our help. Yeah, really. Well, they got the picture.
That's our thinking.
Their picture of God is, you know, he's on a cane and arm wrapped up and head wrapped up and can't hardly walk, all this stuff going on. God isn't crippled. He can do anything he wants to do anytime he wants to. If he created this universe by saying, let there be, you really think he needs our help for anything? That's hilarious to me.
He's in the shape he's in right now for trying to help him.
That's exactly why it's like it is. I asked Lois about something earlier in the week, and I'm going to put it there because she said that and it kicked in my head. You know how we've talked about Babylon? Babylon being what?
Religious confusion.
Religious confusion. Okay. I got a better understanding of Babylon. Babylon is the infusing of our own thoughts into the truth. mixture. Religious confusion is a mixture. We're putting our thoughts into the truth and trying to make them work together. And remember, he said a double-minded man's what? In all of his ways. So we can't infuse our thinking into what he says. If we do, we're just Babylon. Babylon's in here. It's not out there. It's right here. And so when I try to put my thinking into it, it's what I think is better than what God says. I can make it a little better, more understandable, more pleasing to somebody. All I'm doing is watering it down and making it religion. Isn't that right? I'm just making it religion. Just another understanding. We was talking about it earlier in the week, and I said, it's when I infuse my own thought processes into that truth is when we get problems. That's why we got the problems the world has today.
And it's so easy to do.
Yeah. I mean, you can do it without any effort at all. Just sit there and wait for them cherubim to start working.
Babylon in here, then Babylon out of that.
Mm-hmm. If it's in your head, it will come out your mouth. That's a fact. Anyway, that's just things thinking. When you think about these things, and I'm just giving it to you to think on. I mean, maybe it'll help. Okay. Verse 4. And these things write we write, should say, unto you, in order that not your, but in order that our joy may be full. Now, why did you think they did it?
Made them.
See, our.
Like we say, whenever we see the lights come on in someone else.
It makes you feel better to know.
Just like, wow. Awesome.
And that's exactly what he's saying here. Well, he didn't do it just so your light would come on, but whenever he said, when John wrote this, he was writing these things to help you, but in helping you, he's helping himself. Because what are we? We are all one. And when you understand the concept, it's not that we're one just big seething mass of humanity or seething mass of spirit. It's but our thinking processes line up together. If we understand that God is the Father of all humanity, right? He's the Father of all spirits, the book says, right? Is that a true statement?
Yeah.
He's the Father of all spirits. Okay, that means that everyone on the face of the earth have the same Father. So we are what? We're one. So if I do something to help myself, I've also in turn helped other people. And when I've helped other people, I have again helped myself. Is that not true? Because who are you?
Christ.
We're all part of each other, aren't we? And if we can understand that concept that when I help you, I'm helping myself. Many years ago, before Lois and I got married, when I was married to another woman, she was always getting on me for giving things away and for helping people. Why do you always have to help people? I don't know. I wasn't even anywhere near God in my knowledge. I didn't know anything about it. I was only just doing what I knew was the right thing to do from inside. I give things to people all the time. Didn't sell them. I give them away. And people couldn't understand, why would you give that stuff away? Because I want to give it away.
This week we got blessed with two different men giving us back.
They gave things to us that was... They give us of themselves something that was very valuable to help us. It wouldn't take a dime for nothing. They spent hours working for us, doing things for nothing. And had I had no intentions of doing that, but they just absolutely wouldn't have it. One said, give me something to drink. I forgot what the other one did do.
Coffee.
One wanted coffee and one wanted something cold to drink. And that was it. It's a paid in full thing. When you give, it always comes back to you somewhere, doesn't it? It's not necessarily the way you might think it's going to come, but it will come back.
And then you got to be wise enough to let somebody
do. Let them do what they're doing.
Because we always feel like we have to be the ones giving, somebody's got to be able to receive.
And I gave this one man a gift a couple of days later. I got something that I really wanted to give to him. And I didn't think he was home, but his garage door was up. So he's got a Harley Davidson sitting in his garage. And I walked up and just hung it on his handlebar in a sack and left. and got down the road a ways. Said, "Yeah, I think I'll call and see where he's at, tell him where it's at, so he'll look for it when he comes in." And he said, "I said, where are you at?" And he said, "I'm home." I said, "Oh, really? I was just there, but I'm up the road a ways now." But he said, "Well, you should have come in." I said, "Well, I didn't think you was there. I didn't see your truck." He said, "Well, my wife took my truck, and so that's that." And I said, "Well, there's a gift for you hanging out on your motorcycle." So he went and got it. He said, "Oh, well, you didn't have to do that." And I said, "I know that, but I wanted to do that." So just like you, I had to let you do something for me, you have to let me do something back for you. Because I want to.
I experienced that this week. See,
that's what you got to do.
Because I'm always doing a lot to help. So another take stuff off other people, and it got me too much. And
that's right. That's right.
So when I went out there one day out there to help them, I went to and eating ice cream and drinking ice water stuff, got out there, and then I couldn't get back. They come and wouldn't let me get back. And they drove me home and bought my ice cream and all kinds of stuff. And then I tried to call them, have one of them come. That's when you give him some money for gas money. He done a bunch of stuff. He wouldn't let me. And he said, "That's just who I am."
Then you got to leave it alone.
I was like,
"Hey, if you are
first." And then he said, "Well, that's just who I am."
Yeah.
And I was like,
"Leave it alone."
I hear
the I am in there.
Yeah.
I hear that.
Well, kind of knew he wasn't going to, but it's still not.
It was the thought.
Offered.
It's the thought that counts. And when someone offers something, but when you don't receive something that someone honestly wants to give to you, you're cheating them out of the blessing of giving something if they want to give it. If it's in their heart to give it, let them give it. I mean, I've had people give me stuff that I no more want than the man in the moon. I was wanting to give things away to help people, and people bring them. But I had to learn to accept it. And I took it and found somebody else that had need and then give it to them. See, so it's just a way to supply it to someone else. I was just a middleman, just got to carry it over there and give it to the other person. Because what they give me, I would never have used in 100 years. But it was still good, valuable stuff, but it just wasn't valuable for me in that sense. It would have laid in a building somewhere or in the garage or something for years, and I would never have used it. So as soon as I found somebody that needed one, I said, "Hey, got an idea. Come here, Matt. See out there? Pick it up and take it out and put it in the truck." "What? Put it in your truck and take it home with you."
You didn't say when to pay it forward.
No, just go ahead and pay it. You know, just go ahead and do it.
So in giving and receiving, we're one.
Sure. All that stuff ties you to the Spirit of God. And it even says it in here, I believe, or this chapter. Maybe the next one, I don't know. I'm ahead of the game, but there.
Well, I mean, like, one of them, I'm not going to say name, but they were trying to work out who was going to come and help me. And he overheard them, and he started telling them.
Mine was going somewhere. Excuse me. We left off with verse 4, right?
Yeah.
Should be 5 now. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare to you, that God is light." Okay? God is light. "And in him is no darkness." The last two words at all are added. So there, in him there is no darkness, period. Okay? There's no darkness in him. And there's multiple scriptures that tell you that God is light. Correct?
Yeah.
It's 1 John 4, verse 9, he's light. 1 John 3:18-21, and the Gospel of John, chapter 8 and 12. Okay. Some of them. Into verse 6, it goes on and says this: "If we say that we have fellowship with him," And that's that partnership or intimacy with God, okay? If we say that and we not walk but live in ignorance of divine things, okay? That word darkness literally means ignorance of divine things. So if we walk, if we say that we have that intimacy or partnership with Him and live in ignorance of the divine things, we do what? Well, here's what it literally says. That word right there is real casual, that word lie. Because it literally says in the language, we speak deliberate falsehoods. We speak deliberate falsehoods. That means you've got a motive for saying it. Is that not true? When I deliberately say something, there's a motive behind what I'm saying. Does that make sense to you? I'm speaking with a motive for something.
Well, then that's not coming from the light.
Well, that's what they're saying here. He said, you do liar. You speak these deliberate falsehoods and do not the truth. And what's the truth? There's more to it than that. Not just the word truth. You do not the truth concerning God. How's that? Does that make more sense? Verse 7, let's go ahead with it because it's all tied right together. But if we walk or live in the light as He is in the light, and who is the He?
Christ
or God. We have fellowship or that partnership or that intimacy, what? With one another, it should say, with one another. And the blood of Christ Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all, not sin, but all offenses. Okay, offenses. Now, if we have fellowship with one another, who is the one another? Who is the one another? Is it the ones we go to church with?
No, it's everybody.
It's everybody, exactly right. That was my point, to drag out. You know, people think that's just the ones we go to church with. See? With one another. Who is one another? Everybody.
It's the one, that nasty one that passed you on the street.
Yeah.
Gave you the bird and all that. Yeah.
Well, didn't Jesus say, who is your brother? So he had someone who said, to love your brother. And He said, who is your brother? Didn't He ask Him that question? Is that just the one that hugs your neck, tells you love you, or is that your brother, the one out there bleeding and dying on the road? It's all of them. It's all of them. Every form you can come up with, that's part of it. Verse 8, it goes on to say, if we say that we have not offended, no, when it says no sin, it should say that we have not offended, okay? If we say we've not offended, we deceive ourselves, and the truth concerning God is not in us. Now notice He didn't say there wasn't any truth. He said the truth that concerning God is not in you, right?
Now that's just ego at its max right there.
Yep. They're wanting to be, they're saying they've never done anything. Well, I had a lady, and I'll never forget, it's the first one I ever heard say that. This woman said, she wanted us to pray with her. We'd been up talking to her for quite a while. And she said, I have never sinned in my life. And she was sincere about what she said. She thought she had never done anything wrong in her lifetime. Really? Can you walk on water?
Deceived.
Oh yeah, she was deceived, no doubt. Heard a man tell me one time about his wife. He told me, my wife's never done anything wrong in her life. I said, you've been listening to her, haven't you? But he believed it. He was something else. I never had the pleasure of meeting her. I saw her, but I never got to meet her. Never desired to. How's that? Okay. Verse 9. If we confess, and that word confess is not the right word. I don't believe it conveys the true meaning. If we acknowledge our offenses, okay? If we acknowledge our offenses, I've done something not exactly the way I should have. If I acknowledge my offense, He is faithful and just to forgive us our offenses, right? And to cleanse us from all what?
Unrighteousness.
Literally, it's all the heart conditions. That's what the injustice is, isn't it? We're to be cleansed from all those things that we think about that is doing damage to us.
We're morally incorrect.
Yeah. All the morally incorrect thinking we have. So if we realize that all we have to do is understand that everything we do wrong, it's not about the flesh. Flesh and blood shall never what?
Inherit
the kingdom. That means it's not going in. Never will. The dust returns to the earth from where it came. Spirit returns to God who gave it. Flesh don't ever get there. I don't care what you do. You can make your flesh never smoke, never drink, never have a wrong anything. And it's still going to go back to the dust. It doesn't have an option, does it? Because flesh just can't get there. Because you can't make flesh better than what it is. It's just flesh. So
you can take your dirty jeans off and put them in the washer and wash them.
They're still jeans.
They're still jeans.
They're still jeans. And you can get baptized till your skin shrivels up every day, and it ain't going to change the fact it's still flesh and it ain't going anywhere.
Well, you know, whenever I said that morally correct or whatever, what is morally correct for me may not be morally correct for me.
That's why we can't judge anybody else.
Right. So, you know, live it and walk it out yourself.
Wouldn't that be like the morally incorrect in my process?
Sure it is.
So, I mean, like she said, it could be, it's more the motive.
Yeah. You know, there's things that some people can do and others can't do. You know, that's just life. That's just the way it is.
And it's not the thumb in somebody's face.
No.
If you're free in it,
then be free.
Then not let them put the shackles back on you to be in bondage.
As a man thinketh where?
In his heart, head.
So is he.
That's his mind, including his thought process.
Everything about him, if you think it in your mind, that's the way you if you think that you're some sinner, but look what the next verse says. If we say that we have not offended, we make him a liar, and his word, his logos, and what is the logos? Christ. And Christ is not in us. If we say we have not offended in any place, shape, or form. And there's people that still believe that. There's people that believe from the time they were born they have never done anything wrong. That's hilarious to me, but still there's people that believe it.
You know why? If they think it's not wrong, it still goes into that morally.
They're morally corrupt. You know, so nothing we can do about it, can we?
No.
It's an earthly thought. It's not a spiritual thought.
If they've never been exposed to the true light or the light that, you know, that shines on that, then let them go.
I say let them go. I don't care what they do. If they believe it, they can believe it, but it don't make it true. And when it all comes down, they'll find out that, whoops. But you know what? And that's the thing we have to worry about, judging somebody. And when we can come to this place where we will not judge anybody, and no matter what goes on, you'll come to a real liberty to know that it was God's plan for them to be where they are. Do you really think you can be outside God's plan?
No.
I can't be outside of God's plan. I'm wherever I am, whatever's going on, it's in God's plan. And so if they're still walking in ignorance, you know, devoid of the truth of God, concerning God, they're ignorant concerning God's stuff, then who's responsible for that? I had my sister tell me one time, God told her in a dream or a vision or something, that if she didn't go out and preach the gospel to these certain people and give a list of people, if I don't do it, they're going to go to hell and it's my fault. Seriously?
That's religion.
Oh, that's religion, absolutely.
Putting that in her head.
That she has to do it or they're going to go to hell, burn for eternity, and it'd be your fault. You can still go to heaven because you're saved, but... But that's just the way they do these things. They think they've got a way to...
Ego on overdrive.
Ego.
Ooh. How important I am, I can take...
What did Spock say? Warp speed. They're going right on warp speed, man. To think that they could be there and it'd be their fault for not getting them in, but yet I'm still getting to go. I laughed when she told me that, and oh my God, she went crazy. She did. Tore my car all the pieces in, so I kicked the seats out of it.
You're a thanks.
Hmm?
Did you turn it off?
Hmm. I can.